We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 63 of The Art of Surrender. I'm joined by my MMA-focused co-host, Aaron Morelli. And Aaron, mate, we've just been having a bit of a conversation about who should host this one, and you reckon I should, because I've had some reps in lately, and you've only been hosting Zoom meetings at work, mate. So what are you saying? No, you don't have the confidence to host the podcast? What is it?
No, I just think you'll produce a better product. As soon as people tune in and hear me first, they turn it off, mate. They come here to see the sound of your voice.
Yeah. I'm gonna start putting out some a YouTube channel with me just kind of like talking, like with some lo-fi in the background, maybe some raindrops. It'll be a good nighttime one. So ASMR, if you will.
Well, you put me to sleep when you talk anyway, so put some music behind it and I'll actually use it at bedtime.
Yeah. All right. You escalated it quickly. So, mate, what have we done this year? I'm just looking. So I'm trying to get in 12 podcasts for the year. I had this chat with Matt, try to do minimum monthly, fortnightly, if I can, is ideal. You know, I've been through stages of going weekly. I think I've been weekly now for the last 3 weeks because I'll publish this one tomorrow. And then I've got another one I recorded with a guy from Perth called Josh Peaches. So that'll come out the week after. But I've been consistent lately with these this year, 3, 6, 9, 10. This is the 11th one this year. So I've got to get at least one more this year to hit my 12, my minimum quota of 12 for the year.
I think you're going to hit that number.
Mate, me and you have been a little bit, we'll get there. We'll get there easy. Me and you have been a little bit lazy. We did two in January and February. So we did two of them. UFC 270 and UFC 271. Then we did another one in June. So it was almost like 4 or 5 months later for UFC 275. So we missed 72, 73, and 74.
I did get married and have a honeymoon in between. So I think it was an interesting year, lots going on and multiple holidays and stuff like that. So it makes the dates make sense.
Mate, and you know, I've been loved up here and
I know.
moved in with the missus, you know. Broke my knee or ACL, I should say. I'm going through my own rehab, mate. So it's not you and me. It's, you know, we've got our own shit going on. So it's all good.
Oh, we should call this the art of making excuses.
Yeah. That's it, mate. surrendering to the excuses that will be. So anyway, this is our third one for the year. Last one was in June. Oh, sorry, fourth one for the year. Last one we did was in June together. And now we're in October. So I think we're improving. We'll get back again before the year's out. We're going to do – so what are we breaking down UFC 270 today, everyone.
280.
And in a couple of weeks, we'll break down 281, which is Adesanya versus Reyes. But today, just looking at the main card, we are Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev. Of course, Aljamain Sterling, TJ Dillashaw, Petr Yan, and Sean O'Malley. And then also on the main card, Benil Dariush and Mateusz Gamrot. And then we've got the Chookagian versus Fiore fight. Not sure how to pronounce that. Do you even know?
No. Not even an attempt.
So, mate, before, I don't know. What do you want? Do you just want to have a general catch up and a chat, or do you want to jump straight into breaking the card down?
Yeah, man. Let's go for it. I think we should also shout out. I don't know if you went on the weekend, but it was the Higher Jiu-Jitsu and Northern Beaches.
Didn't
get out there.
No. I didn't get out there. Seems like it was a pretty good day, though.
I know. A bit of competition seemed good. Saw some good matches. It's good to see. I wish I could have got out there, but I was busy. But next one, and you'll be back in the next one, and then me and you can
go square off and sort out our ongoing drama with one another that's unresolved.
We can break it down on the podcast.
Imagine that.
No, but it seems like a good time. But how have you been? Been up to?
Mate, just work, trying to get back into doing the podcasts. While doing them more consistently, and I have been, which is good. Obviously, did one with Matt. Don't know if you managed to listen to it yet.
It's on my podcast list.
On the list, yep. Other than that, mate, just work. I've been training heaps in the gym. I was saying to Matt, minimum 3-4 days a week lifting weights and doing a bit of cardio as well.
Nice.
A lot of that centered around rehab for my knee. But doing everything, and doing I've been doing consistently a day a week of jiu-jitsu, sometimes twice, which is that's not ideal for me. But given that I'm coming back from knee injury, at least I'm getting in there weekly. And I think I'm at the point now where I'm going to make it consistently twice a week. So I need to have a conversation with John about, upping my membership.
No, that's good, man. I think it's good that you've come back slowly, so that hopefully you get back for good and not up and down and getting out of the gym. But it's good that you're getting there, because I'm sure you've everyone's missed you on the mats. You came back from Perth and then we lost you again. So
I know, good to have you
back.
Well, time. That's the thing. I was training a little bit before I injured my knee when I was first back in Sydney. And we had the Sydenham gym open up, and I was still living in Redfern. So I was training, I was pretty much training at both gyms. I would do 1 or 2 days at each of them, and I was training 3 or 4 days a week. And then when I moved in with the missus, we're in Neutral Bay now. So I'm on the other side of the bridge. So to get to all the way out to Sydenham for me is almost like I was in between the two. So it was 20 minutes for either one of them. But now Sydenham's almost an hour away.
Yeah.
Maybe not an hour, a solid 50-55 minutes, where Woolloomooloo's probably 35 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
So I just kind of go there now.
Yeah, no,
for me, you're at Sydenham, right? You've been training with Oscar.
Yeah, no, they're both within reach. I've been hitting up Sydenham lately with Oscar. It's been good. I still go some mornings. I went last week to Thursday at Woolloomooloo. It's nothing against Woolloomooloo, it's just Sydenham's been easier for me to get to. And then Woolloomooloo has been easier on the way into work, when I'm in the city. It's just been a bit of that, and Sydenham's growing, and there's a lot of blue belts and stuff out there now. So it's good, good training. At first it took a bit of time, so it was only, one or two people there, but now it's really starting to fill out,
get some legs. That's good, man.
Yeah.
So what's the drive like from bloody Cronulla to, you're in Cronulla, right?
Yeah.
What's the drive from Cronulla to Sydney?
I'm in Woolloway, which is just next to Cronulla on the border. So then that takes me about 30 minutes or so. It's not really any time at all. It's pretty.
What about on public transport? Easy. That'd be ages.
No, I don't catch train ever. I just drive, the train, because the train here, when you get on at Woolloway or Cronulla, goes all the way up to Sutherland and then starts heading that way, whereas if I was to drive to Sydenham, you just get on Tarrant Point Bridge, for anyone that knows what that is, and you just head straight across, so it takes a lot longer on the train.
All right, fair enough, man.
It's not really the greatest way to get to the city, but it is very easy for me to get to the city from where I live, actually going along the front of Brighton and in.
Right. So. Well, that explains you going out to Sydenham all the time consistently and me going to Woolloo. I mean, I know you do some morning classes, but I never go to the mornings. I'm just doing evenings. We haven't seen each other for what seems like probably since June when we did the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. And then I went on a bit of a holiday, and then I've just been out there. So, but I will I will pop into Woolloomooloo time to time, and I'm pretty. It's pretty handy having both gyms, because just depending on where I am, is where I'll go. But yeah, I must say, man, to be honest, I've been enjoying it. Like, it's been fun out at Sydney. It's a beautiful, beautiful gym. Like,
yeah, man.
It's a piece of art. And then when you go back to Woolloomooloo, it feels like home and the you know, where it all started. So anyway, in either higher jiu-jitsu gym you go to, you're going to get in good training in a good environment. And now Oscar's obviously black belt. Wherever you go, there's a black belt. So, I mean, yeah, I can't believe it. It's pretty, you're pretty lucky if you train at higher jiu-jitsu, put it that way.
That's good, mate. Look at you selling the fucking gospel,
you
mate.
You think I'm getting kickback from John?
He's like, oh, by the way, if you sign up in the next 30 days, there's $150 cash back. Morelli's pushing hard for it.
Just put in code Morelli when you call John.
He's just cold calling people that live in the area. Then it doesn't even know if they fucking do jiu-jitsu. He's just selling it to them.
Anything to help.
You're a Jehovah's Witness in the past, weren't you, mate? You look at it, you're just pushing it.
Pushing as hard as I can.
I love it, but it's a good place to be, mate. So come on down, Hampson at the checkout.
Yes.
if you use my discount code, I give you an extra 5%. Morelli doesn't have the hookup. He's the co-host, not the host.
Yeah, I don't have that level of pull.
Mate, so talking about, let's have a little turn the chapter over to the UFC here. We've got a few good fight cards coming up over the next few months. Aside from the actual like fights this weekend and breaking them down, what are you actually looking forward to? Have you been keeping an eye on things lately, or when we've had a few slow cards, have you had time, like, have you been watching still?
Yeah, I was saying, like, there's a bit of a, I don't know, since our last one, even since the Usman and Edwards fight, it's been a little bit, I think, of a lull, other than Garn and Tuivasa, which was one of the best fights I've ever watched.
The emotional roller coaster that was, fucking hell.
I don't think people realize we literally went from, like if you want to talk about emotion, like the Usman Edwards fight, like that was insane, and then straight into Garn and Tuivasa, and Garn and Tuivasa was free. It wasn't a pay-per-view, so that was insane. And our boy Whitaker also got up, and then obviously I think the Nate Diaz live card was pretty good. But in terms of looking forward, I think obviously this weekend, but the big one for me is the next card, mainly the Chandler and Poirier fight is the one I'm most looking forward to. I've ever since Chandler joined the UFC after the McGregor fights, I've always thought this is the matchup to make, especially given how the Gaethje and Chandler fight went. I think this is just the perfect fight to make because Poirier is obviously similar fighter brawler. So I think that one will steal the show.
Yeah.
What about yourself? Man. Anything you're looking forward to?
I was actually thinking, I mean, that's going to be at 281. I was thinking on that card, Adesanya Pereira, I'm looking forward to that fight because of their history. I'm a fan of Adesanya. I haven't seen too much of Pereira other than maybe some highlights in his recent fights in the UFC. I'm looking forward to that, of course. But yeah, that could be, you know, Adesanya staying on the outside and moving and possibly not even like a huge action fight, you know. But the Chandler versus Poirier one, like, that fight's going to be a barn burner no matter how many times they fought. I reckon they would have a 10 out of 10 times it would be a scrap.
Yeah, exactly. I do think the Adesanya Pereira fight will end up, like, it does have the potential to be like a kickboxing, like a sort of even a point fighting, just because they're so, like, just the weapons they both have. It could change in an instant, and they both have a lot of respect for each other, especially Adesanya. Obviously, he's been knocked out by Pereira before, so I'd imagine he's going to be quite, you know, careful in there. But it'd be interesting to see if we see a takedown.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be interesting. Like, if there's any grappling, who do you think would be the one initiating it?
I mean, I'm not too sure about Pereira's background in, you know, any sort of grappling. I do know obviously Adesanya has been, you know, top of, you know, his division for a while, and I'm sure he's doing a lot of wrestling defense and stuff like that for years. So, and has a lot more MMA experience, you know, 7 fights to 24 fights. But the one time we did see Adesanya struggle was obviously when he went up against Jan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say it'd be Adesanya that shoots. I don't know if you saw it as well. Pereira's a big guy. I don't know if you've seen photos of him
standing next to,
like, you know, 205ers and stuff. But he's a big guy. He cuts a lot of weight. So it's going to be interesting. I just want to see them standing next to each other. Like,
Mate, Pereira's already rank 4 and he's had 2 fights in the UFC. Bit of a joke, eh?
It's purely based on the fact he's beat Adesanya before. I think Adesanya's fights recently, obviously, been quite cautious. And I feel like they're banking on, like, they wanted this fight, obviously. It's the storyline that sells because Adesanya's been so dominant. They're not the most interesting fights, but he's still dominant. So I think they need the storyline of this is the guy to beat Adesanya. He's better than Adesanya at his own game. And I think that's what they're trying to sell. So they're just giving him the express pass through to the main event,
I'm having a look at Alex Pereira now. According to Wikipedia, he was born in 1987, so he's only 35. And I know Adesanya is like 31 or 32 or something like that. So, if Adesanya wins this fight, who's to say in a year or two we could possibly see a trilogy between them? You don't know, man. That's a possibility too. So this next fight may not be one and done.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. It'll be interesting. I suppose a lot of it depends on how the fight goes. I think regardless of what happens, obviously Adesanya will get a rematch. If he loses, I don't think that's definitely. If Adesanya wins and wins convincingly, I think that will pretty much settle that for a little while.
If Adesanya wins,
because of where Adesanya is, but I'm very impressed by Pereira. I do think the last fight, though, against Strickland, I was very confused with Sean Strickland's strategy of standing straight in front of one of the best kickboxers in the world. I've listened to many MMA people break it down, and pretty much everyone agrees. Like, I had no idea. You obviously watched that fight.
Yeah.
Watching it, I was like, why is he standing in front of him?
Yeah.
Very bizarre. So that to me was a bit odd because I thought he was going to grapple make it ugly, but he chose to stand straight in front of a premier kickboxer. So, but this fight will be a lot different. Right? Adesanya's not going to stand there and in the same way. So it will be very interesting to see.
Yeah.
So we still got a long time to go. So I'm hoping they both make it.
Yeah, and we'll be breaking that one down in a few weeks. So let's have a look at UFC 281. I reckon we break down the three or four main fights, if you like, and then we can just talk about all the UFC news and just whatever comes up, you know.
Yeah,
maybe we'll start reminiscing about fucking McGregor's fight days back when it was, you know.
He's getting big. So, he's a big guy now. He's filming a movie. I don't know why he wants to come back. He's doing movies, living life. I don't know what he's getting punched in the head for.
why not, man? You know, he's still young.
Yeah, I suppose.
So. You definitely want to see him fight, don't you?
Yeah, but it depends. Like, it depends what sort of, you know, I do think, I don't care what anyone says, I do think it once you've made the sort of money he does, like, it's a different, like, when he first came up, he needed it, man. Like, and every, like, it was like that next level. Thing is, now if he loses, it doesn't really affect him too much in terms of anything, because people he's already accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, people don't really care. Like, of course, there's always people that are going to be like, oh, he sucks, he lost. But, nah, I mean, you don't sell as much whiskey and all that, and getting movies and all that stuff if you're not popular. So
yeah,
but we'll see. If he does come back, he will fight at 170. So
we'll be looking forward to it. Yeah, so let's break it down, man. You had the Benil Dariush versus Mateus Gamrot fight.
Yeah, I feel bad for Dariush. He's one of the guys I think who, his name just sits there, but I genuinely feel like he deserves to be, right up in the title picture. And I think if he wins, they have to finally give him a shot. But to me, it'll depend on the main event. And then it can also depend on Poirier and Chandler. Unfortunately, his name is not the biggest. So, whether we see that or not. And the other thing is you would think he would be the backup for the main event, given he's in Abu Dhabi, and they would just pay Gamrot to stand aside, right? But he's not. Volkanovski is apparently the stand-in for this fight in case, someone doesn't make weight or something happens. So, I don't know. I feel bad for Dariush. He's on a, 7-fight win streak, including wins over Thiago Moises, Drew Doba, he beat Tony Ferguson. Like, he's taken everyone that's in front of him. But I suppose, he's just got to keep winning and we'll get to the point where he'll finally get the title shot. But yeah, I have him winning this fight. I think it'll be a decision.
To Gamrot?
No, to Dariush. I think Dariush will get this done by decision.
Really?
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Okay.
You're going the other way.
Dude, Mateus Gamrot is real good, man.
I know.
He's real good. His last win was a unanimous decision win over Armin Sarukian, who, as you know, we've talked about having a razor-close decision with Islam Makhachev in one of their, debut fights or something. And that kid, man, is very, very, very good. And he was right in the mix with Gamrot for three rounds, I believe the fight was. Yeah, it was a three-round fight. But Gamrot won that fight. So I just feel like he's going to out-grapple Dariush. I don't know who the better striker is out of the both of them. I'm not sure, but I think that over three rounds, Gamrot just kind of outworks him with the grappling and the pressure and kind of runs away with a decision. Maybe he can submit him. I'm not sure. If Dariush can keep the fight standing for long enough, maybe his striking comes into play and that's his path to victory. You might agree with that. But yeah, I feel like Gamrot gets the decision here, possibly a sub.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think I just have a bit of a, I don't know. I just feel like Dariush has been there and I don't know. I want to see him get that title shot. And then now he's being put up against this beast when really he's very, he's right up there, 7-fight win streak. But I do think Gamrot, is probably the wise decision, especially when you look at the betting odds. But I'll go with my heart on this one, and hopefully Benil Dariush can get it done.
I back you for saying that too. Go with your heart. But the odds, I don't even know what the odds are. Just having a quick little look.
I'm looking
here
at the American odds, but
I wasn't thinking about who the favorite was, to be honest. I'm just on Sportsbet. Gamrot, $1.51 for the win. Benil Dariush, $2.56. Yeah, okay, fair enough. That probably makes sense, hey?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think if you're going to, put your house on it or something, you'd probably go Gamrot with this one, but
I might have to put a little multi on this weekend, mate, because the next fight, you happy to move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we'll revisit this. So, because obviously we're going to do the Israel Adesanya breakdown in a few weeks, we can even touch on our picks.
Yeah, sounds good. But yeah, we've got Peter Yan.
It's your job to remember yours. Yeah, yes. Peter Yan versus Sean O'Malley, next fight. As you know, I'm a fan of O'Malley, mate. Obviously, Petey Yarn's very, very high level. We've seen him do a lot of great things, but I've been a fan of O'Malley for a while now.
Me too.
I like his fighting style. I like the interest he brings to the sport.
Yeah, he's taken, he's definitely done the right thing. He's built a brand for himself. He's basically got a job or earning money outside the UFC, and then the fighting's the cherry on top. And that's the thing. He's made a name for himself, and his fighting ability is backing it up. And that's why. And this fight is the big one. People think he's crazy for taking Yano, it's too soon, but I think this is perfect. You know, he's not in there to, these guys are in there to fight the best. I think he was smart to slowly build his brand so he earns enough money and stuff like that until this point. And now I think it's the perfect opportunity for him to pretty much go to probably number one contender almost if he can knock off Petey Yan. Because he's going to probably win that by knockout. It'll probably be like a pretty sensational knockout. So I think he'll pretty much be number one contender, and the UFC will want that as well. So
listen, bro, they've got Sean O'Malley. You're talking sense here. They've got Sean O'Malley at rank 12, Petey Yan at rank 1, and TJ Dillashaw at rank 2, and Sterling, obviously the champion. Dude, if you take out the number one contender, that makes you the number one contender, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
And if Sean O'Malley was to beat Petey Yan, and Dillashaw loses to Eljo, then it just makes sense that it's O'Malley versus Aljamain Sterling. But if TJ Dillashaw happens to beat Aljamain Sterling and has the title, and O'Malley, of course, beats Yan, then we have a conversation about does Aljamain Sterling deserve to get a does he deserve another shot at the title?
Or
does he potentially have to do a number one contender fight against O'Malley? But given O'Malley's popularity, the UFC probably just give him the fight.
They will. I mean, you got like, I know that he's ranked 13 or whatever, but at the end of the day, if you beat the number two guy in the world, well, number one guy, obviously Aljamain's a champion, so technically the best, but he deserves it. Then there's not many people in the division I think can beat Petey Yan other than Aljamain, so I think that puts him right up there. So, and then as well, that would mean that TJ lost, and then obviously Corey Sandhagen lost to both Petey Yan and TJ Dillashaw. So that then makes it hard for him to take the title shot. The only other one is Merab, but he's actually won't fight for the title because he's training partners with Aljamain. So they're the only other real names in the division, but I can't see anyone, jumping ahead of Sean O'Malley if he beats Petey Yan.
Yeah.
The other thing about O'Malley, people don't realize, he actually manages himself. He has no manager. Usually when you get that big, you manage. So he's managed himself for this position and still does all his contracts and stuff like that himself, which is quite insane for someone that level. So, I mean, I don't know how you can not like the guy. Literally does it all.
He's built a real brand around himself, you know?
And that's the thing. He has a brand. Like, he's not just managing his fighting career. Like, he has a brand. So from what he said, and I've seen in interviews, he's doing most of it himself, and he's pretty much said he's not paying someone a percentage to basically sell what he can sell himself. So, interesting tactics, but just, I think, an interesting fact that he's got to this level managing himself.
Just talk. Sorry, Aaron, keep going.
No, you're good. So I suppose with this fight, the most risk for O'Malley will be the takedown. I don't think he wants to end up on his back. I don't think he wants to end up in any sort of grappling exchange. But he is a skinny, elusive guy. So I think, you know, especially if they do get sweaty, I think he might be able to slip out.
Yeah.
And I suppose that the key for him and where I do see an advantage for him is range. He's got kicks, got long arms, he's lanky. He's just got to keep the range, and he cannot, he cannot stay on the fence. He cannot be up against the fence. He's got to circle and use his kicks to and long, you know, long jabs and stuff like that to, I suppose, keep his back off the cage, because he does not, you know, it's like a wall behind you, and it's only so far you can back up before you hit the cage. So I think that's going to have to be his tactic. And I do think I am going to go with O'Malley in this fight, purely, obviously, again, probably a heart pick. I do think, you know, obviously the path to victory is probably better for Jan, just given the experience and this matchup. But I do think O'Malley will catch Jan coming in. I think Jan will have early success and then just start getting confident. And I think that's when O'Malley, who's just an elusive character, I don't think he shows any fear, will catch him on the way in.
Yeah. Okay. Mate, sorry, I got a little bit distracted. The missus came in. She was looking for her AirPod.
All
is good in the world, though. We're all good. Yeah, man. Do you know, I don't know if you saw the odds for the fight at all.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so
if I look sharp.
At sports bet, we've got Petr Yan paid for the... Okay, sorry, I was looking at for the KO here. for sports bet, my bad, people. We've got Petr Yan, $1.31 versus Sean O'Malley, $3.46. So I'm the same, man. I think O'Malley has clear paths to victory here, and he's capable. You know, if he can't, the problem is if he can't keep Jan off him and Jan can close the distance and pressure him, then I think it's a problem for O'Malley. You know, he's got heavy body kicks, heavy leg kicks. You know, I don't know. Yep. O'Malley's possibly a little bit, you know, he could be fragile. So we'll see how it goes. But, man, I think he can win. He's paying $6.75 for the KO. So if I'm placing a bet, I'm probably picking Sean O'Malley by KO, $6.75. Or you can pick him to win in round one or two for $8. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that it's a pretty obvious fight. I think Jan's going to be trying to come forward and pressure him with that. You know, he has a very physical style. I think he may, you know, go for a takedown, obviously. The safest place probably is to have for Jan is to have either be right in range and have, you know, O'Malley on the back foot pressuring him, or, you know, O'Malley on his back for him. Because it is only three rounds as well. So if you can do that for two rounds and then tire him out, I think that will be the strategy. I think it's a But again, O'Malley's the one I think that can cause a serious knockout out of nowhere. So very, very exciting fight. I got to give it to O'Malley for stepping up. It's a big, big jump. A big, big jump. So good on him.
Yeah, man, it is. And you know what? The for MMA's sake and for like having huge pay-per-views and shows and things like that, like I want to see O'Malley win. Because I want to have more huge fights where people want to tune in and see people. So he's on a good rise. I want to see him continue to win so that can unfold. You know what it's like, man. It's like they've got to win. They've got to keep winning. He needs to keep winning.
It's to be honest, it's very, it's not similar, but it's like Conor's rise, right? Like somewhere like this, the good thing about Conor was he actually got to the top. Like, I just want to at least see O'Malley get to the top. Because once you get to the top, no one can take that away from you.
Yeah.
He climbed all the way to the top. And I don't know, I just think Sean O'Malley, you know, title fight, pay-per-view, headliner. I think that's what he eventually deserves. And I think what a culmination to the journey, all the way from having Snoop Dogg commentate on his, was it Dana White contender?
Imagine if he knocked out Aljamain Sterling.
I know, but that would be a dangerous fight.
Mate, who? Okay. How about this? How about we talk about this? Looking at the rankings, if Aljamain Sterling wins against TJ Dillashaw and vice versa, if TJ Dillashaw wins, either way, let's say O'Malley gets the title shot, which is the more favorable fight for O'Malley?
Oh, out of Dillashaw and Aljamain?
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough because Dillashaw obviously has been out, and yeah, he came back and beat Corey Sandhagen. It's a tough one. I do think Dillashaw, like if you saw from the Cody Garbrandt days and stuff like that, like, I mean, I think he has great, great striking. I would, to be honest, the one thing I would really worry about Aljamain versus O'Malley is obviously takedown and just, I mean, Aljamain, what he did to Petr Yan and took him back and stuff like that. I think if he did that to O'Malley, it could be dangerous. But I don't know. I think it's a toss up. I think either one's a really tough matchup, but I also think either one, he could, again, land that shot.
But I think
TJ and Aljamain would both be favorites against O'Malley for sure.
I think so too. I'm not sure who's wrestling is more of a threat to O'Malley because, like, you know, the way I view the two of the wrestlers, like TJ Dillashaw, he's got pretty good wrestling and he's quite strong and it's like kind of like pressure, grindy wrestling, but he doesn't have this. I know he's submitted people, but he doesn't have the same submission threat that Sterling has.
So he's
like a heavy grinding pressure where Sterling is more of like, yeah, he's a wrestler and his wrestling is good and he can out grapple O'Malley, but I feel like his grappling is more like submission grappling than it is heavy pressure wrestling.
Yeah, I feel like
O'Malley can probably hang better with the grappling than with the grinding wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in that grinding wrestling and you know you survive to the buzzer, that's fine. You know you can get up and have another crack. But I just think if Aljo, you know, gets on your back and or gets in a solid position, I mean, he's an elusive guy. He's really good jiu-jitsu. I think very, very high chance he gets a sub. So, because you only have to give him your neck or like any little glimpse. And, you know, we all know what it's like on the mats when you train with someone that's really good. You give an inch and the person takes it. And before you know it, you're tapping. So, especially at this high level. But again, I do hope he gets there. And even if he loses that fight, I mean, he's got a long career ahead of him. He's only a young guy.
Who's this O'Malley?
He's 27. He's a year older than me.
Yeah.
And I don't consider myself, you know, old by any stretch. So at 27, he's got, and I mean, there's people fighting well up to their 40s. So he's got plenty of time left.
He's got plenty of time. Yeah. If Aljamain Sterling got O'Malley's back, O'Malley would be getting strangled for sure. There's no way he would survive that, I don't reckon.
No.
It's just a position he can't afford to be in. All right, so we're going to go we've both picked O'Malley by KO, right? I could see O'Malley's got nice, seems like he can attack the front headlock all right, so there's a possibility he could snatch up a neck. Petr Yan's pretty short. If he gets a little bit like hook heavy leaning into him, maybe I can see him jumping on the neck. But I mean, what about Petr Yan? We haven't talked too much about how much of a threat he is because he can just close that distance and just fucking beat the shit out of Sean O'Malley potentially.
Oh, I mean, before the Aljo fight, I mean, even the first Aljo fight before the DQ, he was looking like unbeatable. I think if you want to, you know, do you just go and watch the run he went from when he went from 6-1 to 15-1 with the last like against Jose Aldo, and then watch him against Corey Sandhagen and the first Aljo fight. He's just dominant. Mm. He was scary, he was pressury. It was scary, to be honest. He was so good.
I can see him just walking in Thai style, just going whack, throwing a heavy body kick and just folding O'Malley in half.
But that's the thing. That's where I think O'Malley can try and catch him when he gets confident, when he just keeps coming in. into that range because O'Malley is long. But if he can't, then he's in for a long night because we all know. I think Jan's are quite a simple fighter when you watch him. Like, you know what he's going to do. It's you've just got to try and stop it. And that's the hard part, right? And I think Aljamain did a great job last time. And we all saw that. And I think the first fight helped him a lot, like to get used to that pressure. But, you know, we'll see. I think, I kind of put it down to like the second Aljo fight, similar to Figueiredo Moreno. After Moreno had felt Figgy the first time, the second time, he had answers. Yeah. And that was the same case. So it's going to be interesting to see, does O'Malley learn anything from that Aljo fight? Does he see anything that he can implement potentially? You never know. But I think if you're going to bet your house on it, you'd probably go with the safer option, Peter Yan, given the names he's fought, the fight IQ that he has. But don't count out how elusive Sean O'Malley is and the fact he's on the rise.
Yeah. Mate, good call. So we're both, I'm leaning Sean O'Malley. It sounds like you are. Do you want to wrap up the Aljamain Sterling Dillashaw one and the main event? Because I think we're almost an hour in already, man.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think the Aljamain TJ, TJ's back. For those that don't know, he got popped for essentially EPO, right? Blood doping. I'm pretty sure it was. So yeah, not the greatest, but he's back. I don't think he definitely doesn't have the shine to his name that he used to. Obviously, after that, the date everyone remembers when Cody Garbrandt was the hottest thing going, and TJ pretty much flipped Cody Garbrandt's career on his head. Yeah. Since that time, he's lost like 80% of his fights. So. That was the sweet, and then he obviously lost to Cejudo, and then the pop for the drug test, but came back and he's beat Corey Sandhagen, and he's now in fighting for the title. I think he does pose a lot of threats in striking, and he's not too fearful of going to the ground with Aljamain. Obviously, he will be cautious, but I actually do think that TJ Dillashaw will win this fight.
Okay.
I think he'll knock him out.
Really?
Yeah.
Higher level striking?
Yeah, I think it's just higher level kickboxing. I think you've seen it before. And I don't know, I just have this feeling he's going to knock him out. Plus, no one likes TJ anymore. So, I don't know. I think he'll win. People will be building him, calling him a drug cheat, and then O'Malley will come and take the title off him. There you go.
And that'll
be a crystal ball.
that'll be a good one for O'Malley, where it's like everyone's going to be rooting for him. Exactly. And then if he gets it done, it's perfect.
People did like to shit on Aljamain, but since he beat TDR, he pretty much shut everyone up. So I think that's gone away.
But also, when it comes to Aljamain Sterling, and like when you're TJ Dillashaw and you get caught and banned for 2 years for EPO doping, you automatically make yourself the bad guy.
Yes.
Everyone that fights you is the good guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think that.
It's hard to recover, man, from the fans. It's hard to recover.
Oh, I don't think he'll ever. I don't think he'll ever recover. I'm surprised he is where he is. Like, I honestly, EPOs, I mean, it's. One, from what I know, I don't know too much about all the different drugs, right? Because these days they test for like these little tiny, people got done for weed before, like Nick Diaz, which is, well documented. But, he said that the EPO was limited to the Cejudo fight. But, he pretty much chose to do it, right? That's the thing. It's not even
put it this way, man. It doesn't matter. In my opinion, it doesn't matter. Look, fighting is it's like a sacred art, and it's so like real. The intent, like in the what can happen afterwards, is so bad that it's like, yeah, there are definitely people in the UFC who are cheating, and I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure it's like probably a pretty considerable amount. And that's all good and well. I'm not for it, obviously. But if you get test positive, if you get caught, Like, that's it. It's you lose all credibility. If you do it and you haven't been caught, then yeah, like, of course you're still cheating, but it's like,
but,
you know, until you're caught, you're fucking innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not even like, look, like some fighters, again, because, and this is where it's so blurred is, and where USADA, I think, you know, hopefully is improving, is some fighters genuinely get done for like a tainted supplement, right? So it's quite clearly they've taken X supplement, they haven't realized that there's an ingredient in it. They test that exact thing and it's the exact ingredient and they work that out and they get, you know, they get in trouble for it. And I think that happened with O'Malley. I think it's happened with a few people before, right? That's fine. Yeah. But when you're basically admitted to take an EPO, like, that's a different story. When you're actively looking for an advantage and it's completely obvious, that's when I think it crosses the line of, you know, should you be allowed to compete again? And it sucks for me because I used to love watching TJ fight. I will say of note, I don't know if you remember, but the Sandhagen fight was actually quite close. A lot of people thought Sandhagen won that fight.
It was very close, yeah.
I couldn't quite remember back to it, but I do remember, and I'm just reading here, that 17 out of the 23 credited media outlets scored the bout for Sandhagen. So a lot of
he's top of the food chain too.
Yes. But so, I think this matchup, I don't know. I have a feeling that in this matchup, I just like TJ's experience. You know, I get that he took EPO and stuff, but you still have to have the skill to back it up. I still think regardless, he beats Cody Garbrandt. Like, I just think those fights that he won, which is sad for him, right? Like, it's a shame for TJ that he sort of hurt his own reputation, because I still think he wins a lot of those fights without the EPO. But yeah, I think he's got the ability to get TJ, to beat Aljamain, and I think he'll do it in the third round, and I think he'll catch him and then finish with ground and pound.
Okay. Dude, I'd like to see Aljamain Sterling win.
I would like to see that as well, by the way. I would be going for Aljamain.
Dude, this is a tough one to pick, actually. Because they're both similar fighters. I'm going to go with Sterling. I reckon he finds the back and gets the sub. I reckon he can out-scramble Dillashaw. But okay. We'll see what happens. So you're going to lean Dillashaw. I'm going to lean Aljamain Sterling.
Yep, that's the way we'll go. But I'll be cheering on Aljamain.
and we've both picked O'Malley. You've picked Dariush and I've picked Gamrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you say we'll both be cheering Aljamain?
Yes, I my brain is saying Dillashaw, but I do want Aljamain to win.
Are you planning on waking up and watching it at 5 a.m.?
Of course.
Yeah.
Especially the main event, which we'll get to now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be up watching it, mate. So breaking down the main event, we've got Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev. Mate, I'm hyped for this fight. I don't know how many pay-per-views this card's going to do, but I feel like it's going to be a pretty decent one.
Yeah, to be honest, this is really going to tell you how much of a pull. Now, it's hard because O'Malley's on the card. So whether people know it or not, O'Malley's very popular with the younger generation, the YouTube generation, like all those people. So he's going to draw some of it. But it's going to be interesting to see how much pull Oliveira and Makhachev actually have. Like, are they as big as we think they are? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they might be, they might not be. So we'll see. Because if you compare them to, I mean, it's hard to compare to like McGregor, but Khabib towards the end of his career was pulling good numbers. So it's going to be interesting to see what these two can pull. Because this is probably the best lightweight title fight in a while. And I think it's interesting that you know, it's not like the striker versus the wrestler like you saw with Conor and Khabib. Like, it's basically probably the better version of Ferguson and Khabib. Like, Oliveira on the ground, on his back, he's not going to be scared on his back, right? Like, he doesn't want to be there. But I don't think Oliveira, if Islam puts him down, is going to freak out like strikers would.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what makes this fight interesting, is that Oliveira on his back in his guard is going to have weapons that he can use. Now, how effective they'll be, we'll see. But I think that's the what will allow Oliveira's striking to open up more, is the fact he's not going to be as scared of the takedown, where he'll actually be able to start throwing hands and actually using his striking to his advantage. Islam has been knocked out before, so it's not like it hasn't happened. I think there is a, although it was, you know, 7 years ago, I do think that there is a, I don't know, I think some people are writing Oliveira off. Like, I get it's simple to think that Makhachev is just going to walk in and do the, you know, Dagestani wrestling and like that we've all seen from Khabib and from Makhachev. But I think, I don't know, I think people are counting out Oliveira. I think he has great striking, which we've seen. And I also think that if he is on his back, or if he does get a hold of Makhachev in a vulnerable position, he has weapons. Like, jiu-jitsu is not, I know Khabib has talked a lot of shit about jiu-jitsu recently, if you've read, but I think that's what would probably make it sweeter for Oliveira if he got a choke. But
I haven't heard that. Yeah, that would be good, man. I imagine if Oliveira chokes out Makhachev. Can you imagine the scenes? Imagine the fucking scenes if Oliveira chokes out Makhachev.
Yeah, exactly. That's would be unbelievable.
Who's your pick? And how do you think they get it done? Because I know there's that's the thing. I'm not sure whether I feel like Oliveira can strike with Makhachev. I just don't know how much of a difference Makhachev's pressure is going to be. Like, he doesn't have the same pressure Khabib has, but he's still got a lot of pressure. I think he has more than more than Oliveira has. So,
look, if you're going to, like, again, bank your house on it, sure, you probably go Makhachev just based on the pressure and all those things. But I do think that Oliveira I just think it's not as simple as they're saying it is, or as people are saying it is, where Makhachev is just going to grab him, take him down, and just do what he wants with him. I do think Oliveira is a different, you know, level than all the other people that Makhachev has fought. Like, I don't think Makhachev has fought anyone Charles Oliveira level, right? Like, if you're looking at his record, Drew Dober, Thiago Moises, Dan Hooker, who's not even close to a wrestler, Bobby Green, like, there's no one there to me that is at Charles Oliveira's level. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
So that's the thing. It's a big step up, and you're also fighting someone that's probably not as fearful of your ground game as others have been. So I do think it is a big step up. So I think it's crazy that some people are just writing Charles Oliveira off here. Like, you would not be shocked if Charles Oliveira won.
No,
right? But there's plenty of times before where you've watched a Khabib, like, for example, Khabib and Gaethje, yeah? If Gaethje won that fight, I would have been shocked. I pretty much knew he was going to get more. Same with the Poirier fight. Like, I was confident, like, Poirier may be able to put up a good fight, but I would have been shocked if Poirier won.
Yeah.
Like, you, for example, you would not be Usman Edwards shocked. Like, that shock when he knocked him out with that head kick, the level of shock everyone had, they were like, holy crap, where did that come from?
Yeah.
I think if Oliveira wins, it would not be very shocking to me. It'd be like, yeah, he has all the skills to beat anyone in the world.
Yeah, I feel you, but it's just I think there's just the invincibility almost around the group because of, like, he's like Khabib 2.0 and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think the odds makers, I think even if you look at the odds, I think
I'm actually going to have a look now. It's
Makhachev's at paying $1.59 and Oliveira is at $2.38. So it's not like it's a blowout.
I'm going to put on a multi here. I'm going to, while we're just chirping the shit, I'm going to throw on a multi before we finish up.
How about this?
I don't know if anyone has listened for this long, but I'm going to throw one on.
This is good odds.
Talk to me.
This, to me, is good odds. Charles Oliveira is paying $12.50 for round one KO TKO and $19 for round two. Now, given his striking and, you know, what we've seen Oliveira do before, and the fact Makhachev's been knocked out and he's not the greatest striker in the world, not bad odds. Good clean up there. And
round
I do
two,
think, to be
round
honest,
two,
I, do,
TKO.
I do think his path to victory is either, like, he knocks him down and then maybe gets a choke or something, but I do think he can genuinely knock him out. Okay. That's my prediction, by the way. I do think in round two, he'll knock him out.
Okay. Okay.
Very similar to the Chandler fight. If you remember the Chandler fight, Chandler was very successful. He almost finished Oliveira, but again, Oliveira is just tough now. He just doesn't go away.
Round two makes sense because round one, like, there's especially in a title fight, there's all the nervous energy, all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of maybe build, maybe you burn 2-3 minutes before the fight really gets going, and then it's round two, you know?
Yeah, I actually think that Makhachev will get him down, and I just have a feeling Oliveira will get some up. This just, if I was to picture the way I think the fight going, and maybe I'm way off, some people will probably think I'm crazy, but I think that Makhachev will get him down. I don't think Oliveira will be as concerned. I think he'll use his guard potentially, and I don't think he'll be as worried. And he'll probably go out of that round going, oh, that wasn't so bad, and start opening up his striking and catch Makhachev coming in. Because I do think Makhachev is going to be quite aggressive coming forward.
Right.
And I think that's where he got KO'd before, if you've watched that. And I know he's a better fighter now, but, I mean, when you fight with that pressure forward style, there is always that risk, right?
Yeah.
That you get countered. Charles Oliveira is actually quite short on the sub. Like, he's only paying $440. Makhachev, $320. So I think the odds makers also, I don't know, great. I don't know the greatest thing about gambling and stuff, but I do think Oliveira's odds are shorter in a lot of areas than I thought they would be.
Oliveira's odds. Okay. Yeah. I actually put on a little bit of a multi here while you're yarning.
Sorry, mate.
No. You're talking me through my multi, mate.
I'm trying to get you some wins.
I've got Oliveira second round KO. I'm backing you, big fella. I've thrown in Mateus Gamrot just to win over Benil Dariush. Then I've thrown on a Sean O'Malley by TKO/KO, and I haven't picked the round. I've just picked the outcome. And then I've gone Aljamain Sterling by submission, which that one I'm probably the least confident in. But it's paying, it's boosted or powered up. It's paying $1,285.
Here's two, and I suppose if you're betting, two interesting facts I can see here is 17 of Charles Oliveira's last 18 fights have failed to go the distance, so there's been a result.
Okay.
And Charles has won four of his five lightweight fights when he was an underdog by submission.
So, Charles Oliveira submits.
Well, yeah, that's
if he submits Aslam Makhachev, it'd be insane, crazy scenes.
Now that, but I don't know. I just don't think I'd be that shocked. Like, I just think I get Makhachev is insane, but I just feel Oliveira has the ability. Like, you don't get to where he gets to where he is now without the ability. I just think he has the ability to do it. I think it's really, it's just going to be, I suppose, how the fight goes. I do think if he does submit him, it would be because he rocked him, though. I don't think he's just going to, like, take the back and choke out Islam. I think it'd be because he rocks him and then just dives on the neck.
Yeah, you don't think he's just going to out grapple him and just get to
his
back?
No, I think he will. Yeah,
I feel you. I feel you. I think that's more likely as well.
Yeah, and that's what I think will likely happen. By the way, a lot of people don't know this is actually a vacant world title. Charles Oliveira technically is not the world champion right now because of he weighed in 0.5 over against Gaethje. So the winner of this will become the champion, even though we all know Oliveira is the champion.
That's crazy, and it goes against his record and everything, hey?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. If I was him, I wouldn't care. He's got the biggest fight of his career. He's on, what, a 9-10 fight win streak? 11 fight win streak. Like, and now fighting the biggest fight of his career. At one point, he was, I don't know if you remember, do you remember when Oliveira was not that good? I remember watching Oliveira, like, mid-pack, like, he lost to Perez, and then Ricardo Lamas back-to-back guillotines. Like, he was just middle of the pack, not doing that well. And then now, all of a sudden, it's like, he has names of Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler, Dustin Poirier, and Justin Gaethje on his resume. And he finished Chandler, Poirier, and Gaethje. Finished all three.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think it's crazy that people think that he's just going to get destroyed by Makhachev. Like, when you look at that resume of people he's fought.
I don't know, man. It's hard to tell what's going to happen. And even Makhachev, there's talk around how, like, people don't think that his fight record is all that great and that it's quite padded. But, like, it's hard to deny his skills, man. Like, you know, when you see him fight and how dominant he is, it's, like, pretty clear as an educated fan who has, like, you know, we're educated fans in the sense that we've watched a lot of UFC, so we've seen a lot of fights, so you kind of, like, get a grasp of who's really good and who's not. And it's clear that Makhachev is one of the best in the division.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's always going to take time. Like, you can't just go and, you know, start fighting, you know, the world's best. And the other thing is, obviously, Adriano Martin, when he lost 2015, like, he took a step back there, right? And then you have to build yourself back up again. Mm. But I don't think, I think that's crazy if people think he's not highly skilled. I think Dan Hooker was a good one to have on his resume, Drew Dober. Like, he's got Bobby Green,
Sarukian, you know, that's a good one. But he was very young then.
I think that the thing is, and this is not his, like, he hasn't fought, like, Poirier, Gaethje. I think that's what people are more referring to. But, I mean, if you become champion, then you will be fighting those people. So, I guess we'll see. But by far, his biggest test is, like, I would say, in terms of step up in competition, it's a bigger step up in competition for Makhachev than what Oliveira is stepping up.
Yeah,
I do think Oliveira has been fought at this level and against multiple, you know, world champion level fighters. Obviously, I don't think Makhachev has fought that exact same level yet. Whether that matters, we'll see. But
Who's got a bigger step up right now? O'Malley fighting Yan or Makhachev fighting Oliveira?
Oh, I'd say O'Malley fighting Yan. I do think, just from a standpoint of Makhachev, I think the lightweight division is stacked and a tough division. And I do think only purely based on the style that Makhachev fights, and he's obviously grappling with Khabib every day, like, and stuff like that. That's why. It's not specifically because I think that he's I just think his style lends well to him, that bridging the gap, that makes sense. That style that he has. I think you can beat a lot of people with that style.
And that's something to not count out either, that you mentioned there, grappling with Khabib every day. You know, he's got 100%. World champion at that level who he gets to touch every day and has been grappling with since he was a child. So even though he hasn't had that same level of fights on paper that Oliveira has had, you know, he's had those battles and constant grinding in the gym at that, against those top level, you know? So I know it's not the same when it's like go live, everything's on the line, but it still says a lot though, because that's where you're like, your practice is where you're, you know, building everything out of.
Yeah, exactly. And I just found that Khabib quote, by the way. He said, if Sambo was easy, it would be called Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, but he said that ages ago, didn't he? Or has he been saying it again?
No, I think it's like, it's been, I know Mikey Musumeci, people don't know, he's a world champion grappler. He brought it up again, but I think it's very relevant to this fight, right? I think that's the other reason why it's popped up. Is if Oliveira is to if Oliveira uses jiu-jitsu to finish Islam Makhachev, it'll be quite the story.
All right, mate. Well, let's leave it at that, hey, and we'll tune in for the fights 5 a.m. No doubt, man. I'll be messaging you while it's on. Our live chat will probably be popping off with the guys. Sorry, group chat.
100%. Good luck, mate, on your multi.
Hey, yeah. I'll let you know how it goes. But, man, it's been good to catch up. Let's do it again in a couple of weeks for UFC 281 and any other pay-per-views during the year. And then we'll try and, you know, just keep in touch, man, with work and jobs and fucking, you know, weddings and stuff. Like, you know, we're sticking at this for many years, man. So 10 years from now, I'm sure we'll knock over 100 more of these ones. And it'll just be, no matter what happens, it'll be a good way to keep in touch anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't plan on getting married again, so my wedding causing any issues, it will be yours.
Yeah. Let's hope that's the case, eh?
Yeah. No pressure.
All right, brother. I'll chat to you later, man. Thanks for coming on. See you, everybody. See you soon.